Welcome to Confessing the Faith, the theological and devotional walk through the 1689 Baptist Confession of Faith. I am your host, Sam Waldron, pastor of Grace Reformed Baptist Church in Owensboro, Kentucky, and president of Covenant Baptist Theological Seminary. Today we continue to consider chapter 17 of the Confession, which takes up the great Reformed doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. Paragraph 3, having spoken of the various causes and tragic fruits of backsliding, something that is consistent with the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints, concludes on the encouraging note of the positive resolution of backsliding. True Christians renew their repentance and faith in Christ. This is a vital argument against Satan's whisper, "If you sin, you can repent." Yes, and you will. But to truly repent is to vomit up the sin. All the enjoyment of eating the dainty morsel of sin is more than made up for by the miserable nausea and vomiting. There will always be more misery than pleasure in sin for a true Christian. Modern easy believism has objected to the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints and taught in its place the doctrine which has become popularly known as eternal security. While the Confession does, in a sense, teach eternal security, it does not teach the popular view that eternal security means that men will be saved regardless of how they live and irrespective of whether they repent of the grievous sins into which they fall. Several passages are often brought forward to support this view. Hebrews 6 and Hebrews 10, however, are clearly dealing with those who in the end are lost and not Christians at all. Not Christians who ultimately end up in heaven in spite of their backslidings. Hebrews 6, 8, and 9, for instance, affirms, "But if it yields thorns and thistles, it is worthless and close to being cursed. And it ends up being burned. But, beloved, we are convinced of better things concerning you and things that accompany salvation, though we are speaking in this way." Hebrews 10, 39 asserts, "But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction." You see, those who shrink back do shrink back to destruction. "But of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul." 1 John 5, 16 and 17 is often quoted. It speaks of the sin unto death. The sin unto death has frequently been interpreted as referring to Christians who continue in sin and thus are visited with physical death by a grieved Heavenly Father. But several conclusive objections may be brought forward against this interpretation. First, the text says death, not premature, physical death. Since all Christians die, physical death itself cannot be viewed as a judgment. Secondly, we note the contrast between death in 1 John 5, 16 and 17, and the mention of eternal life in 5, 11 to 13 and 20, and the similar contrast in 1 John 3, 14 and 15, "We know that we've passed out of death into life because we love the brethren." The contrast in view in this passage is not between physical life and physical death, but eternal life and eternal death. Thirdly, the terms life and death in 1 John are never used of mere physical life and death. And fourthly, the immediate context contrasts those who have sinned the sin unto death with those who are born of God and asserts that the truly regenerate cannot sin the sin unto death. Compare 1 John 5:18 with 3:9. Finally, the historical situation in which 1 John was written provides the clue for identifying those who committed the sin unto death. Throughout 1 John, the writer was attacking the Gnostic pseudo-Christians who had apostatized from Christ and were doomed to destruction. Compare 1 John 2, 18 to 22, and chapter 4, 1 to 6. The sin unto death is denying the gospel of Christ, as the Gnostic pseudo-Christians had done. We conclude with the reassuring words of the Confession. "Yet shall they renew their repentance and be preserved through faith in Christ Jesus to the end."